The following is composed of excerpts from a conversation between Zlatko Čosić, Anya Dietman, and Montez Press Radio. The music in this segment was composed by Zlatko Čosić and his collaborators for his video work. Zlatko Čosić is a video artist born in Yugoslavia whose work spans several disciplines, including short films, video installations, and live audiovisual performances. His work has been included in video art exhibitions, film festivals, galleries, and museums in more than 50 countries.
I can start with my name, Zlatko Čosić. So I was born in Banja Luka, a small town in former Yugoslavia. Now the region is Bosnia and Herzegovina as a country. Before the war, I was just a regular kid enjoying my life in a small little village next to Banja Luka, and studied in high school electrical engineering and computer science. That was my background. How I started, I was not artist at all. I had great storytelling skills and great imagination, I think, but I never really created anything. So war started, and then I was actually at that point at the electrical university, college for electrical engineering, computer science, and studied for a year. War started, I get kicked out from university because of my nationality. The government that was running my town was opposite nationality. Even though I'm not claiming my nationality or ever said who I am or who I belong to, but anyway, they label me that way. So I get kicked out from university. My father loses a job because of his nationality. Eventually, I get. Now I'm like a minority in the town. And eventually I get arrested and tortured, which was kind of reflected in my work called colorboarding. It's the torture process that I tried to beautify through a performative aspect with colors and sound. But then after that, eventually, you know, they knew they can, I refused to go to military. I refused to fight, to put uniform. I didn't want to fight in a war, but they didn't even want me because I'm opposite anyway than they are. So eventually they came and got me and my father together and took us to a forced labor. And that was 8 years of working in the forest, cutting trees, working in the military kitchen, just hard labor. So that's kind of interesting. I did receive a document, which is like permit to be able to leave the forced labor unit. It's a piece of paper. With that same paper, I go back to my university and I sign up for classes. It was an just ironic gesture to prove that I can still do it, and now I'm accepted because I have this stupid piece of paper. I started at that moment collecting everything that has anything about me, like any kind of document ever issued. After 8 months, they released us from the forced labor, but then after several months, they came to get me again to go to back to the labor, but this time was digging trenches in the front line in the war, and probably no chance to survive that one. So I escaped my house. I falsified documents. I took identity of a soldier, a military academy student, learn his, you know, everything about him, the name, the accent, the family, and all that. And I moved through the war zone, through Bosnia, through the corridor, all the way to Belgrade, and got rid of uniform, went back to my original name, and lived there 3 years until I finally got approved to move to US. So but those 3 years in Belgrade were powerful because that's where I discovered love for experimental film and academic film center I discovered. So I don't know, do you want me to keep talking or
the first
first thing I ever did, probably that I could remember it was art, was taking two VHS players and pressing play on one and record on the other one and making the first edits, editing a YouTube music video from Redland Hum, you know, live performance of the Pride song. And I remember that's my first editing. And, you know, later I become digital non-linear editor, not analog, cutting like that. But that was the first touch of something creating, like, ooh, I can manipulate the image, I can manipulate the sound, you know, I can repeat things, you know. So, but then in Belgrade, I see, you know, after just performing someone else's identity, pretending to be someone else, crossing the border, coming to Belgrade, I'm like, what do I do with myself, you know? And then I lived in this student center in Belgrade, and I see this poster, Academic Film Center looking for new members. I didn't know anything about it. So I joined the club. I didn't know that's one of the oldest avant-garde experimental film centers in Europe and still exists. And that, you know, from Dusan Makavejev to Zhelmir Zhilnik to names in Belgrade and Serbian filmmaking and Yugoslavian filmmaking started there. So like, okay, I got in. I was like, okay, give me these tapes, give me VHS recorder, I'll start editing. And then I got into it. And the one thing I said to myself, I just want one film to be in a film festival. That's it. Just some kind of like, I don't know, achievement. And I did create a film, short film, that was in Belgrade Film Festival, and I got hooked. It's like, wow, somebody wanted to see what I have to say. And, you know, war happened. I'm thankful partially to it because it made me move from where I was, because I always felt I don't belong there. Moving to St. Louis, I just continued with more multimedia and more filmmaking and moved into video installations and stuff. I did not speak any English, so everything is just a giant blur in my head, you know, and I mean, nobody understood kind of my cultural parts, like even jokes I would tell, nobody got it. You know, it felt like I felt alienated, and I found myself, I had to speak English better, pronounce everything better. And it's like, well, this is just another Zlatko. It's a performance and go with it. The first 3 years, I felt like I was just performing. You turn the button on and I go. It's not the Zlatko I loved. It was a different one. And that's where I started getting ideas for my performative installations, where I would clone myself in the shot or do different kind of performances, because it felt like it. It felt like I'm in a movie, you know, it's like a story in US, in St. Louis, and you have to adjust. And this adjustment constantly created these like new versions of me. You know, I might sound crazy now, but every day I had this new experience that was just changing me constantly. Bjork comes on the scene in my life, and I discovered video feedbacks and connecting camera to TV and looping and all kinds of stuff. It was more abstract, psychedelic, really more experimental, abstract content. And then I was just amazed with faces, people in the streets in Belgrade, and picked up a song that I really liked by Doors, People Are Strange, and then start filming just close-ups of faces. I love the texture. I love the happiness, the confusion, the struggle you could see in the faces. So that was one of it. Like, what do you do about sucking in the pollution? I mean, do you recycle? How much do you drive car? Do you think about clean energy? I mean, that's what that chimney is inviting. It's inviting conversation. It's supposed to be a little bit slap in the face, you know? And I'm not, you know, I'm not naive to say this is gonna solve the problem. We have to start working on solutions and make things better, you know? Yeah, there's part of shame. There's all that, like, hey, what are you doing sitting there? And I was actually sitting several feet away from the bird, on the edge of the beach in Mexico, and bird is just staring at me. And it was kind of like a performer. I don't know if you watched till the end, but there's an exit gesture the bird does. And while it's exiting, it's still giving me a little look. I decided this is not going to work with sound. It has to be silent. And, you know, it's interesting. Several film festivals and galleries would ask me, what's wrong with the sound? Like, you forgot the sound. And the point was to be in the silence, in that dirty look, you know, us looking at us. And, even with the birds know it. I mean, I started using animals in this point, in this instant, birds as characters. It's ironic. It's imagination. What would they say? What would they think? How would they look at you? And it's not animation. Everything is real. So I'm kind of capturing those visuals in the nature and try to make reference to, in this case, environmental or other social issues here and in the whole globe. Yeah, I'm a bird man. No, I mean, a little bit of how I work, you know, I look for movement a lot, color, shape, movement, sound, and birds move a lot, and they're, you know, accessible animals. They're around, you know, so they end up in the work, and, you know, coincidentally, there's several pieces with birds. You know, they are performers, they are sound creators, and you know, occasionally I use their sound, or I use their visual, or I make little, you know, but even the birds know it, you know. I had this shot for a while where I filmed four different shots of birds on the wire standing, and I always wanted to do something with it, and I knew exactly I want to make a little bit funny, and that birds interact, and it's like a stand-up comedy. You have to really write it funny. And then one time in the piece called St. Louis Spin, Trumpo Mix, as a subtitle, I was caught in the middle of the protest where police was started to beat people around. So what I decided is to just spin with the camera around. So the whole video, it's a 360 spin, but then I decided, oh, this would be cool to do like a DJ scratch the record. So I did the DJ move on the record, going back and forth, scratching the video, looping it, reverse sound, forward sound, and while they're saying one same phrase. And I decided to do that. So it was a play with that. But I was even part of the protest in Belgrade in 1990s when the students tried to remove Slobodan Milosevic as a dictator. So it goes back to those days, 20 years ago, just part of that energy, trying to make changes. And like I said, you know, if something bothers me, I'll relate to it. And that's where sociopolitical part comes. And, you know, I'm survivor of the war. I experienced discrimination. I experienced being an immigrant, refugee, and all that. I experienced hard life. I supposed to die, but I didn't. So I continued living. I had so many chances to die there. But I continued. So I felt like I'm obligated. I got this second life to live. So why not raise some questions, show some simple video art that can make you ask questions and try to work on a better society. I mean, some people might see it as irony or naiveness, but I believe in changes. So if you can do that with art, why not? Being a teacher too, I teach about it too. So I keep, you know, sharing different kind of artwork and styles and messages. And, you know, they're often looking for inspiration. So I tell them how I think, how I find the source, look around, you know, from a news that's happening or, you know, what's happening to our environment. So that's how I work. I share with students. So hopefully there's more work being created that way too. Yeah, harmony in three. I can talk about it. I mean, I always love dance. I think it's one of the greatest visual narratives. And it's often experimental. And you can tell so much with the movement, the body, the space. And I was always intrigued by it. And then I collaborated with dancers. I worked on live performances where dancers would perform and I would feed live camera of the performance and process it live with delays, colors and whatnot with the musicians. Even belly dancers, I worked with several performances. But then eventually I decided to collaborate on a short film. So I worked with choreographer, musician and dancers and myself to create a piece called Shifted. And that was like playing with a lot of different techniques and projection mapping and sound on the spot and lights, colors, some analog effects, some special effects to produce content that could be taken to the stage and do live performance, live mixing. Ends up being a short film. I get more into it and eventually get invited by Lohmeyer Sculpture Park here in St. Louis to collaborate with choreographer Ashley McQueen, to produce work that relates to the space itself, the nature, the park, also to relate to workers who take care of the park, the county park workers, and to incorporate dance in the space. So choreographer had idea with the lawnmowers, riding lawnmowers. So I created, they did the performances on the grass that end up being the footage in my film and together with workers who take care of the place and the nature itself, but also the sculptures, the art in the sculpture park. So I saw it as a three stories, following worker for a while, you know, how they take care of the place, spending time with dancers and recording the performance itself. And then the nature, like miking, especially like water, insects, using micro versus macro, playing a little bit more with the space. How would you see it with the camera instead of your with your eyes? Put it together, musician Alan Schilling made the score using riding lawnmower sound and some other special techniques. And it ended up being a short film, Harmony 3, that was commissioned by the Lommer Sculpture Park and Kranzberg Grant. And then he ended up being there in their collection. So it's out on their website. And yeah, so I was good in math. So that was one thing that was always, you know, when I studied computer science in Banja Luka when I was in high school, we didn't even have computers. Everything was on paper. The computer supposed to be delivered. They were 2 years delayed. So the last 2 years of my high school, I finally got the computer. But everything was studied on a piece of paper. The
crazy.
Whole programming,
wow.
the whole programming, like how would things work, you know? So I learned to see the sheet of coding and see mistakes like easy. It's like misspelled, you know, when you read English. And then when computers arrived, funny thing, we were so bored with this programming. When computer arrived, instead of playing games, it was first Apple, of course, arrived.
when he arrived, we were like, oh, should we play some games, you know? Or what are we gonna do? But we made all this. So the first thing, I'll never forget this, just like highlight of my high school years. The first thing is a friend of mine, who student, he writes the code to spin the floppy drive, you know, the 5.25 floppy soft drive, to spin it so fast until it starts smoking. That was our first interaction with computers. Like it's almost like experimentation with computers started like this. Like, screw making these little games, you know, and stuff. It's obvious, and there's a lot of patience, and I love just meditating, relaxing in nature. But I'm kind of like the old school, you know, camera user. I'm selective. I spend time to get the perfect shot. I don't record like hundreds of shots and then pick one. You know, even that's digital, and I have terabytes and terabytes of space. That's not how I work. I want to be more selective. I search for the best shot. I work with framing. I delete immediately if I'm not happy with it, and then I redo it. I look for the best shot I can. And that's where the timing and patience comes in my work. Waiting for it, waiting for perfect light. If it gets cloudy, I'll wait until sun comes back to get the same shot, because the reflection is better. I can see in the water, I can see a creature. Talking about animals, actually, in this new work, Fire Ecologies, I'm bringing more animals from the crawfish, fish, what else, deers. I have a lot of other animals coming to this new work. And so it's not just birds. Actually, there's no birds at all in the new work. Yeah, on Monday, I'm really the musician who I collaborate with on the music video. She's releasing that on Monday, that music video, and it will be on my website.
Yeah, cool.
It's really powerful, powerful, powerful collaboration. Sinusop Pro, beautiful collaboration. I was just mesmerized seeing her perform live in a venue, looping pedals, all kinds of voice. Performances, and always wanted to work with her, and there you go, there's a chance to do it. And yeah, with this new work, Fire Ecologies, it's like I said, Christopher Starr composer, and it's gonna be performed by Unheard of Ensemble, and it's a 60 minute piece for chamber ensemble with my video about climate change in the United States. So, you know, during pandemic, it's a unique way of working, sharing files back and forth, listening to music, collecting more visuals, and shaping this work. And it's supposed to be performed all around the country with Unheard of Ensemble playing it with video in a background. Thank you. I want to talk about something that's important to me. And, you know, it's prominent in me in my biography. I don't say I'm from former Yugoslavia. I don't say I'm Bosnian, Serbian, and Croatian. I say I'm Yugoslavian. So it's important to me to artistically or even ironically say I'm Yugoslavian, I'm South Slavic. So, and when war started, people were eager to separate into these groups and nationalities. And I didn't like that. So I was against it. I was against to wear uniform. I was against to fight and kill people. I was against, you know, being separate into a certain nationality or religion. So keeping that Yugoslavian identity, it makes people mad. It makes people ask questions too, you know. So, but, you know, and one thing I regretted is that it's not regret. I was just not artist when I lived with my parents throughout the war. But I wish I could go back and record us living together for those 3 years. How beautiful it was to not have electricity, not have media, TV, internet wasn't even available, but not to be polluted by all these distractions. Just me and my parents playing guitar, sharing stories, drinking tea, just enjoying life, believe it or not, with this simplicity, you know, nature around us and simplicity in life. I always loved it. It was my favorite part of the war. It's almost, it would never happen if I didn't have the war. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm telling you this, it's important to me because years past, I always wanted to go back and capture that. And I decided 1 year I go back to Croatia where my parents live, and I decide to semi-surveil our life for 6 weeks. And that's in my work called Between, let me double check.
Between Places, right?
No, Between Places, yeah. So I decided for 6 weeks to place camera in our living environment and capture everything about us but faces. There's no faces. It's our body parts, it's environment, it's sound, it's living together for 6 weeks. So, and I wanted to make it as comfortable as possible. So I patched my camera to the phone. So nobody's aware that I'm behind the camera, press and record. I just click on the phone remote, camera goes on, it records us living together. I recorded a lot of footage, but my favorite part of this is that none of us were aware of recording. I forgot I pressed record. And I captured this life, cooking, telling stories, watching the soccer championship happening this summer, sharing these stories, you know, stuff. It's just this almost a boring stuff. But I loved it so much because I think we went away from our families. We got lost in social media and in watching TV shows. Nobody's sharing these stories and this like essence of life, just the beauty of life. And I wanted to make the piece and I did it. And I cut down hours of footage to a 20-minute piece. You can watch it on my website. You can, while watching, think about relating to your own family. How much time do you spend with your loved ones? So, you know, I did it and it was important to do it. But then when I was editing, I discovered new things. And that's what I love about making these spontaneous documentaries. I discovered while editing that I have accent when I speak my own language. I didn't know. While listening and editing the headphones, then there's a new character in the story. It's my wife speaking English, me speaking English with her. Her speaking my language to my parents trying to speak English. So there is all this kind of mixture and how our life evolved through sound mostly. And I found that just priceless piece of work I made. And it might be just close to me, close to my parents and my wife, but I hope that people can relate to how they live, you know, how they live with their partners, their families, how they live alone, how they interact with people, what's important in their life. So Between Places, it came as a title from my parents, you know, leaving Bosnia, being kicked out in the wartime from their house and moving as the refugees to Croatia and ending up in this house the government gave them. And they kind of still live between these places, between the past and present. They're kind of like stuck there. So that's where the title comes. But also I'm between these places, between these cultures, languages and stuff. But South Slavic Requiem was the work I created as I wanted to end that era of that kind of work. And I was in Croatia looking for, you know, I don't know what I was looking for, but I was just hiking, you know, camera in my hands, and I see this beautiful church. I found out it was Orthodox Serbian church. Christian church, and while I was there, I saw this beautiful bell tower, and I started recording the footage, which ends up being in the piece South Slavic Requiem. It's a video installation, but while I was recording, I heard somebody playing sound in the distance, and it was one of those pipes, you know, instruments, like Scottish pipes. And then my main goal was I need to find who is playing this. I went there, I looked for it, I could not find, you know. I went second day and I searched, I asked the people who lived in the village, do you know who could be playing the sound? They tell me about it. I go there, the fence was locked, I couldn't go to the house. Third day, I go back. I go to the fence, finally man comes out, and he was so unpolite. He was like defending himself, he was scared, what am I doing there, why do I have camera? It was really uncomfortable situation. I explained I'm a filmmaker. I explained that I heard him playing a song that I would like to record that. Oh, he was so scared, like not, you know, trying to figure out who am I. He was asking me where I'm from. I said, I'm from Banja Luka in Bosnia. Oh, he said, you're one of us. Assuming I'm Serbian, because Banja Luka was Serbian government, still is. And I said, no, I'm not one of yours. Well, where do you live now? I said, I live in America. What's the name of your father? And I tell him, oh, you're one of them. I said, no, I'm none of these. I'm not Bosnian, I'm not Croatian, I'm not Serbian, I'm Yugoslavian. I don't belong to those cultures. I don't, you know, I don't want to be part of this seclusion, you know, and discrimination, nationality. And he looks at me, I said, but who are you then? I said, I'm nothing. And he said, with the biggest smile on his face, he says, well, come in then. And I spent hours with him telling me stories from his experience and how he, you know, the war zone was right there where I came to record him. So all this violence and what he lived through, but he played me so many songs and he did not want to end. He did not want to let me go home. I mean, and it was hours. I recorded, and that his sound becomes part of that installation, South Slavic Requiem. It's so important to me to know that he accepted me because I belong to something that's nothing, or something that doesn't exist, a country that doesn't exist. He was so shocked that I said Yugoslavia.